Thank you very much, Mr. Pattinger. Good to see everyone. Welcome to those on the webcast. I'd like to begin today with a story. Once upon a time, there was a great famine. The people in one small village didn't have enough to eat, and definitely not enough to store away for the winter. People were afraid their families would go hungry, so they hid the small amounts of food that they did have. They even hid their food from their friends and neighbors. One day, a wandering soldier came into the village. He asked the different people he met about finding a place to eat and sleep for the night. "There's not a bite to eat in the whole county," they told him. "You better keep moving." "Oh, I have everything I need," he said. "In fact, I would like to make some stone soup to share with all of you." He pulled a big black cooking pot from his wagon. He filled it with water and built a fire under it. Then he reached slowly into his knapsack, and while several villagers watched, he pulled a plain gray stone from a cloth bag and dropped it into the pot. By now, hearing about the magic stone, most of the villagers were surrounding the soldier and his cooking pot. As the soldier sniffed the stone's soup and licked his lips, the villagers began to overcome their lack of trust. "Ah," the soldier said aloud to himself, "I do like a tasty stone soup. Of course, stone soup with cabbage is even better." Soon, a villager ran from his house into the village square, holding a cabbage. "I have this cabbage from my garden," he said, as he held it out for the soldier. "Fantastic," cried the soldier. The soldier cut up the cabbage and added it to the pot. "You know, I once had stone soup with cabbage and a bit of beef, and it was delicious." The butcher said he thought he could find some beef scraps. As he ran back to his shop, other villagers offered bits of vegetables from their own gardens: potatoes, onions, carrots, celery. Soon, the big black pot was bubbling and steaming. Then the soup was ready. Everyone in the village ate a bowl of soup, and it was delicious. The villagers offered the soldier money and other treasures for the magic stone, but he refused to sell it. He had many offers for a cot to sleep on that night. The next day, he traveled on his way. 2020 has been a breeze. This year has been so boring, hasn't it? Now, this year has been crazy. The whole world went mad back in early March, and it really hasn't calmed down. Who would have thought we'd still be talking about COVID-19 on September 26th? Now, maybe some of you did, but I didn't. If you had asked me in April, "Will we still be dealing with COVID-19 when the feast comes?" I would have told you no. If you'd asked me if we'd still be dealing with face coverings and limited crowd sizes at services, I would have told you no. Even when we got to Pentecost and Chicago congregations were just starting to meet again, I was still thinking that this would die out over the summer. I even told Mr. Chris Smith after one of our last services when we were doing the webcast only, "When this COVID-19 thing is over, I'm going to have to find some new inspiration for messages." Well, it turns out it's the gift that just keeps on giving. So if we've learned anything through all of this, it's don't ask me to predict the future. I did not expect things to be where they are today, but I suspect that I'm not the only one. Nonetheless, here we are. Face coverings and social distancing are still a thing. And I don't know when it's going to change. COVID-19 is going to affect the Feast of Tabernacles. It's changed where some of us will be going for the feast. It's going to change what we do at the feast. And it's even going to change how we attend services at the feast. When we head off to the feast, we don't go hoping that this will be the worst feast ever. We go with the hope that this will be the best feast ever. But there is no way that 2020 is going to be the best feast ever. How could it be? Well, when the soldier in the tale of the stone soup walked into that little village, no one expected that they would be having a great meal that day. None of them had enough food for a great meal. Not the way they saw it. But all the ingredients they needed for a great meal were there. On the surface, this feast doesn't look like it. But all the ingredients are here to make it the best feast ever. This afternoon, let's find the ingredients that we all have to make the Feast of Tabernacles 2020 the best feast ever. Now, the first ingredient is not a rock. Or maybe it is. The first ingredient is learning the Word of God. Learning the Word of God. To begin, let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 8 and verses 13 through 18. Now, Judah was sent into captivity for 70 years. The Bible doesn't say much, if anything, about the Jewish people keeping the feast. Daniel, one of the most faithful and righteous men in history, is silent on keeping the Feast of Tabernacles or any of the other feasts. Then Nehemiah leads a group of Jewish people to rebuild Jerusalem. And Judah keeps the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles. Nehemiah 8 and verse 13. Now on the second day, this is the second day of the seventh month, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people with the priests and the Levites were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month. And that they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of oil trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees, to make booths, as it is written. Now this, as it is written in Leviticus 23. And it's interesting to note that in Leviticus 23, it says, gather these things, but it doesn't actually say what to do with them. Now, it's just worth noting, because there are some, not anyone here, I don't think, who think you got to build a little hut for your feast. You can't go stay in a hotel or a condo or a cabin. Verse 16. Then the people went out, and they brought them and made themselves booths. Each one on the roof of his house, or in their courtyards, or the courts of the house of God, and in the open square of the water gate, and in the open square of the gate of Ephraim. So the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under the booths, For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that day, the children of Israel had not done so. And there was very great gladness. Also, day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. They read from the book of the law of God every day. And they were happy about it. They were glad to go to church, if you will, for 8 days and learn the word of God. Please turn to Matthew 5 and verses 1 through 6. Now, a lot of our travel plans have changed this year, as I mentioned earlier. But also, because of COVID-19, all those ministers who were planning to travel all over the world, they're staying here. Now, that's not a plus for our brethren in places like the Philippines or Zambia or a number of other places where they look forward to having those ministers visit. Because they don't have what we have. We're going to have more of the professional ministers at the US feast sites this year. Nothing against the amateurs, as I am one. But maybe we in the United States need some more professional help this year. As a surprising number, or at least surprising to me, of American brethren have seemed to have a little trouble grasping what it means to be a citizen of heaven over the course of the last 6 months or so. If there really is anything to that on the spiritual level, then that's even more sobering to me. Because it feels like we're taking something precious from our brethren who already have so little compared to us in America. But if God's will is done in all of our lives, then that's really what matters. Matthew 5 verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up to the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." If you are ready for the madness of this world to be over and for Jesus Christ to make things right, if you're hungry for the millennium, I've got good news for you. You're going to be fed during services. You're going to get some great meals for 8 straight days. And you can get stuffed on righteousness. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 11 and verses 1 through 9. Jesus Christ is going to come back. He's going to change everything. And when he does, 2020 and all the turmoil that has come with it will be nothing but a blip on the radar. Remember when half the country lost their minds about getting sick, and the other half lost their minds about putting a piece of cloth on their face? Now, it's not really half and half. But it feels that way sometimes, doesn't it? And I don't want to make light of those who have died of COVID-19. Because they are not just statistics to be thrown around in some debate over what we should or should not be doing. They are real people who would be alive today were it not for COVID-19. And no matter how many or how few, God knows the names of each and every one of them, because they matter to Him. And that should matter to us. But 2020 has been a year of division. Face masks, racial division, and politics. Battle lines have been drawn, and people are ready to fight. But there will come a day when, I think, we will barely remember 2020. Isaiah 11 in verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall go out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And his delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Jesus Christ will come and judge the world with the words that are sharper than any two-edged sword. Verse 5. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. The whole world will be at peace, finally. But why? For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We go to keep the Feast of Tabernacles to look forward to the time when the whole world will be different. And the biggest difference will be that everyone will learn the Word of God as the waters cover the sea. The second ingredient for the best feast ever is fewer distractions. Fewer distractions. Let's read Luke chapter 10 in verses 38 through 42. Now it was May, or maybe late April, and the weather warmed up, and everyone was still stuck at home because of the lockdown. And I took a break in the middle of a work day and went for a walk with my wife and kids around our neighborhood. And I couldn't help but notice how quiet it was. Blue skies, white puffy clouds, green trees, and quiet. Erica and I talked about how nice it was, and we weren't the only family out for a walk in the middle of the day. The lockdown was actually a great opportunity to step back and focus on the things that really matter without all the noise. Luke 10, verse 38. Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." We are easily distracted by many things, and they're not all bad. Serving is a good thing. Work is a good thing, even if it doesn't always feel like that. But even good things can be a distraction from that one thing that is needed. What about the feast in 2020? Turn to Mark 4 and verses 14 through 19. In chapter 4 is Mark's account of the parable of the sower, and Matthew and Luke record it as well. We know the story. A sower scatters seed all over, and the seed falls. Some of it gets eaten by birds. Some of it grows, and some of it doesn't. Some of it only grows a little. Mark 4 and verse 14. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes and immediately takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These, likewise, are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Many of the cares of this world are bad things, like the pursuit of riches. But as we read with Martha and Mary, not all of those cares are bad things. But when the cares of this life, good or bad, distract us from the word of God, then what's really important gets choked out, and we fail to grow. Please turn to Colossians chapter 3, and verses 1 and 2. Now, Erica and I have been to some really cool places for the feast. We've been to Hawaii and Ireland. The kids haven't, but we have. But sometimes when you go to those really cool places, you can get caught up in all the things that there are to see and do. I don't know that anyone here was planning to go to Greece or Jordan for the feast this year, but plenty of people were. And that's all gone now. And even if you're going to the place you originally planned to go for the feast, there aren't as many activities planned as there were, or as there would normally be. But maybe that's a good thing. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. There will probably be less to do at the feast this year, no matter where you're going. But a more boring feast, if you want to call it that, can mean a less distracted feast. And that's a good ingredient. And that leads us to our next ingredient. Ingredient number 3 is less time doing things, more time with people. Less time doing things, more time with people. Let's go to James chapter 2 and verses 14 through 17. Now, we usually turn here to talk about faith, because that's what James is talking about here. But to explain that faith without action is dead, is useless, James makes that point by asking a rhetorical question. And a rhetorical question, as a reminder, is a question that you're not supposed to answer, because the answer is supposed to be obvious. James 2 verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. If we do not do things for each other, if we don't spend time with our brothers and sisters, if we just wish them a happy feast, what good is it for them? With fewer places to go, and fewer things to do, we are left with more time for people. Please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verses 13 through 15. And we have the opportunity this year. Restaurants will probably be open wherever you go, we're going for the feast. But maybe it won't be as fun to go out to eat. That's okay. Invite more people over to your temporary dwelling. Cook a meal. Order in. Whatever. But spend more time with the people of God. Do that, and your feast will be better because of it. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 13. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days, when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress. And you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, who are within your gates. Spend time with your family, for sure. But don't forget to spend time with others, especially those who don't have as much. Whether they don't have as much money or they don't have as much family as we do. Verse 15. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses. Because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you surely rejoice. During the feast of 2020, spend less time doing things and more time getting to know your spiritual family. And you will surely rejoice. The fourth ingredient is set a good example. Set a good example. Turn to Philippians 2 and verses 12 through 15. Now, my entire life, I have consistently heard one thing. Whether it's 10,000 people descending on a city or a few hundred, the Church of God has a reputation with the locals. Your people are so nice. Your children are all well behaved. The people who live where we go to keep the Feast of Tabernacles are glad to have us. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my brethren, as you have always obeyed, not only as in my presence only, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. When we go to keep the feast this year, remember that we are supposed to be blameless, without fault, in the eyes of everyone else. And it's not just because we want to look good. It's because we represent God. And we go to do His will. Turn to Luke 11 and verse 17. There is more than enough complaining and disputing going on in this world. And if we join in, we don't stand out the way that God wants His people to do. Instead of being lights, we disappear into the darkness. Luke 11 and verse 17. But He, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls." The United States of America is becoming increasingly divided, as is the rest of the world. And it's all on a course for total destruction. And the people of God do not choose sides in these battles. At the Feast of Tabernacles, we live as citizens of a different world. Please turn to Isaiah 52 and verses 7 through 10. People of the Church of God have a reputation for being good examples. It hasn't been true of every single person, but as a group, the people who live in the communities where we go to keep the feast look forward to our arrival. Isaiah 52 and verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, your waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Does God intervene to make sure that we can keep the Feast of Tabernacles? Absolutely. Do the people of Orange Beach, Alabama, want to get their town cleaned up? I'm sure. Do business owners want 1,100 people to come and spend a tenth of their annual income? Of course. But don't be surprised at all if there are people down there working hard to get things ready because we're coming. Now, maybe not everyone will be happy to see us, but if we make a positive impact on their communities, that can change. This year especially, no matter where you're going, let's make sure to set a good example. Ingredient number 5. Look forward to the kingdom even more. Look forward to the kingdom even more. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. Now, this is the model prayer. We all know it. And if you grew up Catholic, you probably know it better than I do. But there's one part in this prayer that Catholics and most and almost everybody else in the world don't understand, no matter how well they have memorized this prayer. Matthew 6 and verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your kingdom come. At the Feast of Tabernacles 2020, shouldn't it be easier to pray this than at any other feast in a long time? It's been 19 years since 9/11. It's been 45 years since the Vietnam War ended, which was right about the time that many thought Christ was going to return. It's been 75 years since the last World War. So I don't think it's overstating it to say that it's been quite a while since we've experienced this kind of upheaval. Whether you think COVID-19 is overblown or not, the results should have grabbed all of our attention. And we should all be even more focused on the solution to this world's problems. Please turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 10 through 13. Are you ready for Jesus Christ to replace the governments of this world? Are you ready for him to set things right? At this feast, look forward to the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. But don't forget to look beyond as well. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. Look forward to peace on earth. Look forward to the great white throne judgment. Look forward to the kingdom that has no end, when God himself will dwell with men. Turn finally to Deuteronomy, chapter 14, and verses 22 through 26. I have a confession. 2020 has had plenty of blessings for me. My paycheck has been a little lighter than expected, but I have been able to spend more time with my family than ever. I have been able to spend more time reading my Bible, listening to sermons, and praying. But for most of the world, 2020 has been a complete disaster. And that disaster is going to affect how we keep the feast. But the Feast of Tabernacles 2020 has all the ingredients for the best feast ever. Deuteronomy 14 in verse 22. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household.